Welcome to New Life Church. If you don't know me, my name is Janessa, and leading beside me is Marissa, who is the worship pastor at Mission Hills, and she graciously decided to join us in worship today. As we continue in worship, hear these words from Malachi 1:11. It says, "My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord God Almighty." We serve a great God. Amen.
You now to do the same thing for me. There is no one like you. There is none beside. We're going to stay in an attitude of worship and of praise and of submission and of surrender. And we're going to be taking an offering right now. And throughout this next song, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord how would you want me to give? How would you want me to offer up praise and another aspect of worship to you today, Lord? So I want to encourage you to do that. Today's offering is for our benevolent fund, and this is a ministry at our church that's administered to by our deacons to help and serve people in our community that need help, whether they come in off the streets or they're family of ours that are in need. That's that ministry there. The deacons pray and ask the Lord, how can we serve and who needs help and how to do that? So if you feel like the Lord's leading you during this next song, you can come and drop your tithes and offerings into the boxes at the front. We also have ways for you to give electronically online. Would you please bow your heads with me and pray? Father, we commit all of this to you. We commit our lives to you. We commit our day to you. We commit the difficult things. We commit the blessings that we perceive as good. We commit our finances, Lord, to you as well, because we know that you provide. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider of everything that we have. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, God. We know that. We recognize that. And so we submit all of these good gifts that you've given us, the ways that you provided for us, the ways that you have shown up in the midst of our need. And we say, how can we do that again for you, for others, God, in your name? And so today, Lord, as we come to give of our tithes and offerings, Lord, let it be with a heart full of gladness and joy, and not out of duty or religion or a need, but rather out of a place of thanksgiving and trust. Yeah, Lord. So we ask, Lord, as well, that you would give wisdom and discernment to the deacons and the leadership as they pray about who to give and how to give. We ask for another measure of wisdom for each one of them. We give all this with a heart full of hope and thankfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to stand up again.
My way. Let's all
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Life Church. It's so good to worship. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome, hey? Woo! That was powerful, man. Yeah, thank you for leading. Thank you for taking time. We appreciate that. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Justin Dudney, and I'm one of the pastors here. I lead our life groups and our young adults ministry. And if you are new, if you're joining us and haven't been here yet, one of the ways that we ask our guests to introduce themselves or to let us know that you have attended is in your seats or in your pews in front of you, there's a connect card. And if you just fill that out, we know that you've joined us and one of our pastors will connect with you and just be able to welcome you to church. And if you also feel more confident or are okay with connecting with people in the foyer after the service, there's an information booth there and one of our awesome welcoming hospitality team members will connect with you. So thanks for joining us. Also, welcome to those of you on our online church. Welcome to you. Glad to have you here with us. And if you have randomly just stumbled upon our website and you're watching the live stream right now, we just want to say welcome to you as well. We trust that God has brought you to this service for a reason. And our hope and our prayer is that you're drawn closer to him throughout this time. So welcome to you all here. In just a moment, we're going to show you a video of our life groups at New Life Church. So a number of months back, we said to ourselves, it'd be really fun to show the church some of the life groups and some of the reasons why they love being a part of a life group. And just to celebrate the life groups, to celebrate what God's been doing. And so we're going to watch a video about our life groups. Not all of the life groups are present in the video, but just some of them and just sharing how they've been impacted by being in a life group. So watch here.
Tell me what you love most about being in a life group.
My life group is a community that knows my wife and I and our kids. It's a community in which we feel known at a deeper level.
Our group means a lot, actually. We have found community, acceptance, encouragement, and prayerful support, along with some good social times.
The thing about our small group is we've been together a very, very long time. And people have come in and gone out, and we've been encouraged by every member that we've ever had.
We've been in this life group for many, many years. I, in particular, have been in the same group for 26 years. So you can say that we grew up together or we grew old together.
Like most care groups, our group meets for prayer, for Bible study and discussion, but we also meet for a lot of laughter and food.
So, yeah, we get to pore over God's Word, grow in our relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Maker of heaven and earth.
At the end of our study, we have time to share prayer and for specific needs in our group and even beyond.
Life group is a place that we can do that, where we can freely share our concerns with one another and pray for one another's needs. And that perhaps we wouldn't be that comfortable with in a larger setting.
We literally choose to do life with one another. So we will actually talk about some of the more difficult things in our life. And that's been life-giving for both Christine and I and our family as well.
We're family to one another. So that's been a really an encouragement to each one of us. We've had our disappointments. We've had major joys.
We've also been able to work together as a group, helping different things, like we helped with the fire victims in the setting up the sale of the clothes and things like that. And we also have helped to move two refugee families. And we've been to Esperanza together as a group to help build an outdoor pavilion. So in working together, we get to know each other so much better. And we become a stronger team, and we just are so glad of the support of one another.
We love our life group, and we love the people in it.
We are very grateful to have this group of people as part of our lives, and never more so than the past few years.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Was it just me or was it a little quiet? A little bit quiet. I think what Kuhn said at the beginning, what he most loved about Life Groups was just how much he gets to spend time with me. We're actually not in the same group, but he just loved me. I think that's what he said. I don't know if, yeah, confirm with Kuhn later. So the Life Groups at our church is a special part of our church. It's where we get deeper together, where we go into Christ-centered community. We dig deeper in our faith, we dig deeper in relationships, and we dig deeper in, in just everyday life. Like Kuhn did say in that, we just chose to do life together, and that's our hope, to be a part of a life group. So if you are interested in being a life group, let us know so that we know how to plug you into a group, get you connected. So please reach out to myself or one of the life group elders. Also, after the service today, we have a luncheon upstairs in room 303. So if you're new here, you can go out these doors, and there's an elevator, and you go upstairs. And there's a luncheon there with one of our life groups and then some of our life group elders. And it's just an opportunity for us to know if there's people that are interested, you want to find out more about being in a life group, you want to hear about people that have actually been in a life group and what it's meant to them. And also, if you're just new to the church and you're looking for community, some of the things that we've seen here at New Life over the last several months, we've just seen this desire for our congregation to be in community. And so if you're wanting to come and connect, feel free to come upstairs. We have some lunch there for you as well on today as well, downstairs in room 103. So if you go out these doors and take the elevator, wait for the people going upstairs, please. Just priority for them. Just kidding. No, Janet's going to have a word with me later. Go down these stairs right here, and there's going to be an Esperanza soup and buns as well. So Esperanza is a ministry on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and it's specifically for First Nations people that are looking for hope, that are looking for refuge, that have had a struggle in their life and are looking for a community that will take them in. The people at Esperanza take people in and just offer hope, offer love, offer refuge. And so if you're interested in finding out more about that, there is a missions team going there the week of July 31st to August 7th. And so there's going to be people meeting downstairs. I think they have a group of like 30 already. I can't remember what Janet was saying. There's a large group of people going already. And there's an information luncheon after the service today. So head on downstairs and grab some soup and buns. This is the first time we've ever had a conflict like this in the church, and we're praying for unity. We have dueling lunches, and I'm going to do my best. I tried to do my best to be unbiased, but I've heard that the soup and buns upstairs, the buns are just the fluffiest, and the soup is phenomenal. It's beautiful. It is one of the, I actually prepared a soup myself, and it has been said to cure the man cold. Whew. That's impressive, because we all know how bad man colds can get. No, I'm sure the Esperanza soup and buns are just as amazing, so. Yes, Janet. The reason why I keep scanning is I'm waiting for Janet to come out of the shadows and spear tackle me for any negative comments I've said about Esperanza. No, please go check that out. And then after you're done with the Esperanza soup and buns, you can come upstairs and sample the other soup. So it's just perfect. One more announcement for us today is our Canada summer jobs. We have two positions available. For this summer, for two positions of youth and children's. So if you are a person that is interested in, or know of a person that's interested in being a part of our youth ministry or our children's ministry, we have an a position for 8 weeks at 35 hours a week. And we would love for you to come and let us know if you're interested in that, or if you know somebody that would be interested in that. You can talk to Pastor Nathan, you can talk to myself, or just come to the office. And talk to us there about that. We're going to be taking a time for fellowship to talk to one another, greet one another, and then dismiss our kids. So kids, if you are ages 3 to 5, you can head out the doors to your right, my left. And if you are kids grade 1 through 5, you can head out the door to your left and my right. And during that time, as the kids are heading down, we will have a children's church attendant right there for you to talk to if you don't know who or where to go. And then during that time as well, we have a question for you to ask your neighbor, okay? This is the question. What was your favorite summer job? What was that that job that you did in your teens? What was one of those favorite ones? All right, so take time to greet one another, and kids, you are dismissed.
I was buried beneath my shame.
could carry that kind of weight. It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my, you called my name.
If you would take a seat, please. Evidently, you have a lot to talk about. I've got some things to say as well, so. Wonderful. Well, good morning again. So good that you're here. Welcome again to New Life Church. So, let's join together in prayer for a couple of reasons. One, simply being there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and in our lives, and sometimes we come to church thinking that we can just put that aside, but as we come here, I want us to bring all of that stuff to God, because it doesn't just so easily get dismissed. In addition, we're coming here to hear God's word, and I just pray that God's word blesses you this morning. And so I want us to pray about that as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know the troubles of our life, you know the troubles of our world. And we hand it all to you right now as we come before your word, because we're eager to hear what you say in the midst of so much other hardship, so much difficulty, perplexity, confusion, distraction. And so, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit, as it is present here, will focus our hearts and minds on you. God, we
We pray that you will bring peace in our world. God, we hear of shootings. We hear of killings. We hear of death and violence. God, we lift it up before you. You are our refuge and our strength. God, we pray that you will end the war in Ukraine. Pray that you will bring peace into our lives. Pray that your rule will reveal itself in our own lives, in our community, and in our world. And so, God, we come to your word, listening hard to see what you have to say. Instruct us, Father, how to live in the hope and the joy of your resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so our lives are filled with all kinds of punctuation marks, aren't they? I wonder what punctuation mark you would use to characterize your life. I mean, sometimes our lives are filled with all kinds of disconnected events, comma, and disconnected relationships, comma, and we place one foot in front of another, comma, and we just go minute after minute, comma, and everything is unrelated, and there's pauses, and there's hesitancy in our lives. Sometimes our lives also are filled with question marks, which can be good. I mean, to answer the question, who am I? And what am I called here for in the world? That's a good question to have in our lives. But sometimes the questions nag at us and gnaw at our lives. The question of, does anybody love me? Am I accepted? Am I valuable? Do I have any purpose in this world? And when those questions keep persisting and never get answered, that disrupts our lives. But sometimes our lives are also filled or even perhaps characterized by an exclamation mark. An exclamation mark that affirms life, that says, life is good. And that's gratitude. To be filled with gratitude allows those exclamation marks in our lives, the moments in our lives where we go, wait a minute, how did that happen? That's a gift to me. Wow. And we love that. I want to talk about developing the exclamation marks in our lives this morning. We're in a series called Habits and Attitudes. And we're intent on developing our inner life to strengthen our hearts and minds so that we can learn to endure through good times, but also in difficult times and in hardship. And perhaps one of the most valuable ways to grow our inner life, to strengthen our heart, is gratitude, a thankfulness, no matter what happens. I want you to hear a story this morning of someone we know well, if you're a regular member here at New Life. And I want to invite Bernie to come forward. And you're familiar perhaps with his story, recently been extremely ill. And I want to give him this opportunity to give his testimony.
Good morning. I'm very glad and thankful to be standing in front of you today and speaking to those of you here in the church auditorium or those of you who are watching online. When I say that I'm glad and thankful, this is more than just an opening line to introduce my testimony of God's goodness to me. You see, 5 weeks ago, during the week before Easter, I was in critical condition in the Abbotsford ICU with bacterial meningitis. For 3 days, I was extremely sick and on life support. But God preserved my life and protected my brain and nervous system from any life-changing side effects. So I can say again that I'm very glad and thankful to be here today. During the first few days of my illness, I either do not remember what happened or I was sedated and unaware of what was going on. So some of what I'm sharing today, it's been pieced together from what my wife Kathy, my children Moira, Alex, and his wife Alyssa, and what the doctors and nurses have told me. Looking back, this started with me experiencing a significant hearing loss on Friday, April the 8th. I went to emergency at the hospital that Saturday morning to have it checked out. After waiting a few hours, the doctor I saw, he decided it was due to impacted wax in my ears, told me to use olive oil drops and have my ears cleaned out the next week by my family doctor. Then on Sunday, I suddenly started shaking in the afternoon. Though taking Tylenol calmed that down. Kathy called 811, the nurse line, and both the nurse and doctor she spoke with questioned whether I was confused. At the time, I wasn't, so they suggested I see a doctor about my hearing on Monday. Later that Sunday evening, I did start to act irrationally, speak gibberish, and demonstrate confusion. Kathy decided to take me to emergency. On the way there, I tied my shoe on the wrong foot. In the car, I didn't know what to do with the seatbelt. Both things I had done thousands of times, but my brain couldn't figure out how to deal with them. When I got to emergency, I continued to act very distressed. With the symptoms I was presenting, the triage nurse gave me a bed right away. If I had shown up earlier that Sunday, my symptoms probably wouldn't have been significant enough to warrant being admitted. If I had shown up later, critical treatment for bacterial meningitis would have been delayed. But God orchestrated the timing so that I was admitted very quickly once I showed up at emergency. I call this a grace note or a God story. Well, some might think this was just due to lucky timing or circumstances. I believe God worked things out that way. In Romans 8, verse 28, we read, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." In Ephesians 1, verse 11, we read, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." God was working out the timing of events or people involved so that his plan for me would be accomplished. After a CT scan, they determined that I did not have a tumor, nor did I have a brain bleed, but I did have both an ear infection and a sinus infection. A second grace note was that the ER doctor called down the ICU doctor who also assessed me. They all agreed that they should do a lumbar puncture or spinal tap to check the fluid around my brain and spinal cord to see what was going on there and confirm whether I did indeed have bacterial meningitis. In a third grace note, the ICU doctor also indicated that there was a bed available for me in the Abbotsford ICU, so I could get the intensive care I would need over the next few days. Now, a lumbar puncture would have required me to be hold very still so that I wouldn't become paralyzed from the procedure. However, I was way too restless and distressed for that to be done safely. Thus, Kathy and Moira agreed with having me sedated. Since the doctors couldn't guarantee that I would be able to breathe on my own with the sedation, they also placed me on a ventilator. For the next 3 days, I was sedated and on life support. The lumbar puncture was completed around 2:30 a.m. on Monday morning in ER, and at some point, I was moved up to the ICU. Now, bacterial meningitis occurs when a bacterium either enters the bloodstream and travels through the fluid surrounding the brain and spinal cord, or when this bacterium directly invades that fluid from an ear or sinus infection. Once the bacteria are in this fluid, it causes an inflammation of the membrane surrounding your brain and spinal cord. And the swelling of these membranes places pressure on the brain and spinal cord, causing all kinds of problems. More commonly, this bacterium will just cause an ear or sinus infection, and the body's immune system will kick in and prevent bacterial meningitis from occurring. However, in my case, because I just had COVID-19 12 days earlier, the doctors believed my immune system was depressed, and so I couldn't fight off the bacteria. and thus it crossed over the barriers into my blood and the fluid around my brain and spinal cord. Bacterial meningitis represents a medical emergency when it occurs. If one is not treated in the hospital, one will die from it. In some cases, death has occurred in as little as 3 to 4 hours. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control, 22% of adults who get bacterial meningitis will die from it. And this percentage goes up for older adults, such as myself. Of those who survive, 20 to 25% will experience life-altering side effects, such as personality changes, intellectual and cognitive problems, hearing loss, seizures, or motor deficits. Sometime on that Monday, a bacterial meningitis had been confirmed by the cultures taken from the spinal tap. Other blood tests had also revealed that the same bacteria were in my bloodstream. In consultation with the infectious disease specialist at the BC Center for Disease Control, the doctors had determined the best course of treatment for me. At one point, I had an IV with 7 or more intravenous bags, providing antibiotics and other IV fluids required for my treatment. I also had a ventilator, a feeding tube, a catheter, a central line, an arterial line, and an O2 sensor connected to me. I was one wired up dude. Sometime on Monday morning, I spiked a fever of 41 degrees Celsius or 105.8 Fahrenheit. I was placed under an air blanket with cool air blowing through it, and the ICU nurses were placing bags of ice under my armpits to cool down my body temperature. Early Monday afternoon, Kathy and Moira were told that my condition would get worse before it would improve, as the antibiotics needed time to kick in and kill off the bacteria. While I was at my most critical state on Monday and Tuesday, requests for prayer were sent out. Prayers were being offered up on my behalf from family members, our life group, friends, neighbors, the communities of both Unity Christian School and Abbotsford Christian School, you who here who attend New Life, and many others across BC, Alberta, and down into the US. Well, I will probably never know all those who are praying for me because of our connections to multiple faith communities and the branching out from there through prayer change, there were probably a few hundred people praying for me. This also represents a God story in that with one day, so many people could be praying for me when I couldn't even pray for myself as I was sedated. All these faithful prayer warriors stood in the gap and offered prayers that God would preserve my life and restore me to full health. Scripture states in James 5:16b, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Thank you for offering up prayers on my behalf, and thank you to God who answered your prayers so that I can stand before you today. Another God story also coming out of the Monday night prayer group here at New Life. Since Marvin Bravo felt called to partner with this group's leader on a 4-week series focused on the acronym WAIT, and since God stirred the hearts of 50 to 60 people to show up for this, there was a much larger group than typically present at these prayer nights on that Monday, April the 11th. Thus, when I was extremely sick, this group was able to lift me up in prayer for around a half an hour. Again, I go back to Scripture in James 5, verse 16b. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Thank you to Marvin and all those who responded to the stirring of the Holy Spirit to be present at this Monday prayer group meeting. And thank you for taking the time to lift me up in prayer. The prayers of all those who lifted me up were heard by our Father in heaven. When I was sick in the ICU, there was a window of time before the antibiotics started winning the battle against the bacteria that had invaded my blood and the fluid around my brain. During that window, I needed another God story. I needed to rely on God to protect me from dying and from suffering serious side effects. As Psalm 121, verse 7 states, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. I am very thankful that God did watch over my life and honored your prayers. On Tuesday, Kathy, who teaches high school history, wrote in her journal, "We are in the eye of the storm with Jesus. It's actually a very peaceful place. We can totally tell that we are being carried in prayer." The other picture the Lord gave me was of a World War I trench. It was lined with prayer warriors standing shoulder to shoulder, standing in the gap for us. We were free to walk around safely in the trench. So cool to have an historical image. The Lord knew I would appreciate that. Such a blessing that in this time of incredible challenge, that God would look after my family in that way too. I remained in critical condition on Monday and Tuesday. On Wednesday, my ICU nurse was cautiously optimistic, and my recovery appeared to be moving in the right direction. Clearly, the antibiotics were now killing off the bacteria that had invaded my blood and the fluid around my brain and spinal cord. My levels of sedation were reduced over a couple days starting Wednesday, so I became more aware of my surroundings. I recognized that I was in a hospital, but was unable to remember anything that had happened between that Sunday afternoon and that Wednesday. Over the next few days, my awareness of what was happening increased, but I would also forget things that just had happened yesterday, such as my daughter Moira showing up to visit, and apparently I acknowledged her, but then the next day I couldn't remember that. And at that same day when she visited me, she sang the song, Goodness of God Over Me, multiple times. And my daughter Moira loved to sing as a child, and this was her way of praying for me during this very difficult time. I was also very disoriented, initially thinking my son Alex, you know, who was masked up when visiting me, was a doctor. The sedation just prevented me from initially recognizing who he was. The sedation was completely removed on Thursday. However, then I also began to hallucinate whenever I closed my eyes, which interfered with me trying to get a good night's sleep. And I did not initially recognize that I was hallucinating, and I thought it was some high-tech virtual reality thing, which I just wanted someone to shut off. That's ironic for someone like me who's, you know, worked in high-tech for over 35 years, but I just couldn't realize what was happening because my brain wasn't working correctly. On Good Friday, the ICU nurses were even more optimistic. The latest blood cultures indicated that the bacteria that had caused the meningitis were no longer in my blood. However, I was still hard of hearing. Saturday, I got my cell phone back. My cognitive abilities had improved to the point where I could do some online banking. The Moira kept a beady eye on what I was doing to ensure I wasn't inadvertently giving away funds. On Easter Sunday, I watched the New Life service online. While much of it was hard to hear because of my hearing problems, I did hear the big hand of thanks that was given when Nathan mentioned that I was on the mend. Afterwards, Kathy told me about the responses of so many of you who came up to her after the service. As she related the words of love and care expressed by many of you, I became emotional and weepy. God touched my heart with your love and care for me. God would continue to touch my heart over the next few weeks as I learned more about what I had missed while being sedated, and I was made aware of all those people praying for me. On Easter Monday, I was moved out of the ICU onto the medical unit into a semi-private unit. In another grace note, I received the window side of the room, so I was able to look outside. I was moved twice more before leaving the hospital, and in both cases to a private room, which were also great notes. That was the one advantage of having tested positive for COVID-19, as the COVID protocols limited who I could be placed with in a room. On Tuesday, April the 19th, I received an MRI on my head to check for any other abscesses in the brain, which can occur with meningitis, and also to check for any blood clots and to check my inner ears. The results from those indicated there were no abscesses. However, I did have a small blood clot, which wasn't blocking anything because it was in a vein, and I did have a sack of fluid in the inner ear. Again, I offer thanks to God that there was nothing more serious in terms of abscesses or clots. I was placed on blood thinner medication for the next 3 months, after which another MRI will be scheduled to see what's happened with the blood clot. I was also scheduled to see an ENT doctor to investigate my hearing issues, and that will happen later this month. The rest of my hospital stay was required primarily because the doctors wanted to continue administrating antibiotics via IV every 4 hours to ensure that all the bacteria were killed. I went home on Tuesday, April the 26th, after spending 16 days in the hospital. I continue to recover at home, building up my strength and stamina. My hearing continues to improve day by day, though it's not back to where it was prior to April. I also still need midday breaks and naps when I suddenly become very tired. I ask that you continue to pray that my hearing continues to improve and that the blood clot in my brain is dissolved. Another God story that occurred during this time included Kathy being able to get time off from Unity Christian School. Typically, when a teacher takes sick days or personal days, they still need to prepare subplans. But God made a teacher on call available just the prior weekend, and this teacher knew the school community, and he could jump in with planning the lessons. Thus, Kathy could focus on what was happening with me and not have to worry about school. Likewise, both Alex, Alyssa, and Moira's employers were gracious and gave them time off to be at home and support Kathy and me during that critical first week. As I reflect on the events of the past weeks, I am struck by how utterly powerless I was in those first few days of my illness. I'm a planner by nature, and I like to figure out how problems are best resolved. However, when I was confused and later sedated, I was completely unable to participate in any treatment plans. I was unable to pray. I was forced to totally rely on both the expertise of the doctors treating me, the prayers being offered up on my behalf, and on God's love for me and his promise to protect me. But I couldn't even acknowledge that I was giving all of this up as it was happening. That really makes 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 more real. In this passage, the Apostle Paul states, "But he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me.' I could do nothing, and I had to totally rely on the power of God and the love he has for me." In conclusion, I want to again express my thanks to all of you who prayed for and supported me and my family during this time. I also want to express my thanks to all the doctors, nurses, and other support staff at Abbotsford Hospital who, with their care, kindness, compassion, and expertise, treated me and both saved my life and prevented any long-term life-changing side effects. Finally, I again want to express my thanks to God for his love for me and for protecting me during this time.
Almighty, we just give you thanks, simple thanks, for Bernie, for preserving his life, for loving him, for surrounding him with your love and care, for surrounding him with a wonderful family, for surrounding him with medical staff that could provide treatments. And God, our hearts just burst with thanksgiving that you are our God, that you watch over us, that you watch over our lives. So God, as Bernie testified, even when we don't know it, God, you teach us to surrender everything to you. And so may you be praised and exalted forever. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Bernie. Wow. You know what gets me every time? It's the fact that when Bernie says, you know, somehow he and his family were upheld by the prayers of people. It's like, how does that work? Right? But they knew it. They could sense it. It's the way that God uses to make us aware of his presence. So in my morning devotions, I read several passages. One of them always is a psalm, and often it's the same psalm for several days in a row. And this past week, actually, I upset my other staff because I changed my text to Psalm 100 because that was the psalm I was reading several days in a row. And as I read that psalm, I was just overwhelmed by that same sense of God's presence, being aware of God revealing himself in our day-to-day life. And it nurtured my heart with that same kind of grateful praise that Bernie speaks of. You look back and and your heart's just filled with that kind of thankfulness. The word gratitude is the same root word as grace. It's a thing that it's an emotion that you have when you get something that you don't deserve, or something that you've not earned, something that you weren't able to do something for it, as Bernie testified. It's just there. You not only acknowledge it, but you affirm it. Yes. Thank you. Eli Wiesel is a Holocaust survivor. And he later on went on to be an author and a professor and a journalist and so on. But Oprah Winfrey interviewed him one time, and she asked him the question, so with all that you've experienced in the Holocaust, is there still any room in your life for gratefulness, for gratitude? And he said, absolutely. Right after the war, I went around telling people, thank you just for living. Thank you for being a human. And to this day, the words that come most frequently from me are, thank you. When a person doesn't have gratitude, he explained, when a person doesn't have gratitude, something's missing in their humanity. Something's missing in their humanity. See, what I'm afraid of is that we live in such an entitlement culture. And we expect so much because we have so much, which indicates to me that thankfulness doesn't just arise out of having stuff. Thankfulness is a disposition. It's an emotion. It's the shape of our lives that you and I can nurture. So I want us to take a look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is an invitation by way of an exclamation mark. It's the kind of thing, it's not just, hey, why don't you come into God's presence if you feel like it. It's more like if you're on a hike and you know that you're going to come to some amazing viewpoint, some point where, I don't know, there's like an amazing waterfall or something. And so everybody's hiking up, you're in a group, and everybody's hiking up, and you get to be the first person up there. And then automatically, you just say, you guys, you got to come. I mean, they're already coming up. But you say, you guys, you got to come up here. You got to see this. That's what Psalm 100 is. So what I want us to do is to stand up right now. Why don't you stand up? And I want us to read this psalm together. It's an amazing psalm, Psalm 100, because it's exactly that kind of invitation to say, you guys, you got to come and see this. And it will nurture in us a sense of gratitude. So let's put up Psalm 100 and we'll say this together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. All right, you may be seated. You know, sometimes we don't pay attention to Scripture, right? You're just anticipating, you're hoping yet again Pastor Nathan will say something worthwhile, and then we even forget. So that's why I have you stand, and because I want you to participate in the Word of God. That's the Word of God. This is the Word we need to hear today. thanksgiving. How do we nurture that? How do we nurture that deep sense of gratitude, the kind of thankfulness so that's reflected in Bernie's life as he testifies to God's greatness, to God's preservation? How do we nurture that thanksgiving? It doesn't only happen when we're desperately sick. We can nurture it in every aspect of our lives. David Brooks is a journalist for the New York Times, and by the way, a wonderful Christian as well. I've read some of his stuff, and he makes the comment that he learns gratefulness sometimes when he's in an economy hotel. So he travels around a lot, and he says sometimes he's in a high-class hotel. But he finds that his emotion for gratitude drops when he's in a high-class hotel, because he says, I get grumpier because I have to stumble around looking for a power outlet, or I'm miffed because the hotel thinks they're too classy to put an ordinary coffee machine in the room. And he says, and then when I go to just a normal hotel that it's nothing fancy, I find, he says, that I'm grateful for the coffee machine. I'm grateful that there's an iron that works. I'm grateful, he says, that there's a waffle machine in the breakfast pantry that's kind of a treat. And he finds that he's more thankful. See, again, I think the problem is that we live in this entitlement culture. The expectations we have, the entitlement that we assume that compels us to develop and nurture gratitude in our lives, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in the midst of expectation. It happens not as an automatic reflex. It's not just an incident that happens. Thankfulness isn't an incident that happens when we get stuff. It develops as an attitude that you live with, a disposition in your life, a disposition of thankfulness. Not so much for stuff, but a disposition of thankfulness to someone. And Psalm 100 says, that's God. It's thankfulness to God. Come over here and see the one who has blessed you with health. Come over here and see the one who has provided for you. Come over here and see the one who has saved you. We sang that earlier. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. When you're in the presence of God, God lavishes his love on you, and then gratitude grows in you. So that's one of the ways to nurture gratitude in our lives, is to become more and more aware of God's presence in your life. Because gratitude is not about what you've earned or what you've acquired or what you got or what you deserve. Gratitude can exist even when you don't have things. That's hard for us to imagine, I suppose, living in such a materialistic culture. But it explains also why people in poverty can be happier than we are. Because gratitude is nurtured, not by having stuff, but it's nurtured by being aware of being in the presence of God. Oda Anders was a supervisor, worked in a school for 45 years, and during all of those 45 years, he did something that most of us probably would bypass, but as He made his travels throughout the school facility. He would pick up every penny that he saw. Now, this is in the States, where a penny is still worth a cent. We don't even have pennies anymore. They're not worth it, apparently. But he picked up every penny. And by the time he retired after 45 years, he collected all of his pennies in 15 5-gallon jugs, and he brought it to the bank, and he deposited into his savings account $5,136.14. Now, what's more amazing than the fact that those years of picking up pennies amounted to that kind of cash is the motivation that Oda Anders had. This is what he says. I became convinced that spotting a lost or dropped penny was an additional God-given incentive, reminding me to always be thankful. There have been days, he says, when I failed to pray, and more often than not, a lost or dropped penny would show up to remind me. That's nurturing gratitude in our lives. Each day, developing that habit, as simple as it is, to become aware of God's presence in our lives. A second way to nurture gratitude in our lives is perhaps just as obvious, but just as easily ignored: to count your blessings. We had mentioned that Bernie would tell his story at the next New Life Live, which is on June 8, by the way, and then it was Bernie that suggested, why don't I tell the story in a service to bless even more people? And part of that, I think, was so that Bernie could take the time to count his blessings, to be able to tell that story. That's a precious thing, to count your blessings. This is instruction from the Word of God, in fact, two psalms later after Psalm 100, in Psalm 103, actually. Well, I guess that's three psalms later. Sorry for my math. Psalm 103 says this: Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalm goes on to describe all the things that God has done. Forgiveness of sins, the healing that happens, salvation into the world, God's love, his compassion, the way he breathes life into our hopes and dreams, for the way that he sets things right in a world of wrong, and that he even bothers to reveal himself to us in the midst of such a broken world. Forget not all his benefits. When's the last time you counted them up? I mean, if you know the hymn, we've sung that before. Count your blessings, name them one by one. But when do we do that? When do we actually say, I'm thankful for this, this, and this? Sean Acker teaches psychology at Harvard University, and he did a research experiment one time where he collected a group of people and asked them for 1 week, each day, to name three things that they were thankful for. And he said they don't have to be big things. They can just be ordinary events in your daily life that you say, oh, yeah, I'm thankful for that. And so he invited them to state three things for which they were thankful each day for 1 week. And he's and then, of course, there's a counter group that didn't do this exercise. And after a month, he said, that group that participated in this thankful exercise, naming thankfulness three times a day, even after a month, even with those who had stopped giving thanks, they still remained more hopeful, more joyful, less stressed, because they had done that exercise for 1 week, naming three things. That's learning to count your blessings. That's not forgetting all of God's benefits. So I want to invite you to start today and to name three things that you're thankful for. And this is how we're going to do it. Pull out your phones if you have your phone with you. Pull it out. All right, grab your phone. It's just in your pocket, or it's right beside you, or it's already in your hand because you're doing a Quirtle while you're listening to the sermon. All right? And there's a QR code that's going to pop up. This is dangerous for me to explain because I am so technologically challenged. But if you open your camera app and you point towards the QR code, and I sat way up there this past week, and it works still, so you might have to focus in on it. But if you point your phone at there and click on the link, I got to keep my phone steady. Did you get it? All right. If you don't have your phone with you, of course, just grab a comment card in the back of your pew and a pen. And so the link is going to lead you to a website where you can list three things for which you are thankful. And then in a moment, we'll see them all popping up on the screen. So focus in on this QR code. I'm going to try it one more time. Focus in on the QR code. Click on there. You've got, scroll down and enter a word that describes what you're thankful for. You have three options there. Got it? My staff can't believe how long it takes me to text. This is kind of like texting. Okay. All right. Okay, can you see? People are still submitting things. Look at that. So, I mean, the biggest thing that's going to, the word that got the most responses is going to be the biggest one. So, it looks like it's family and health. I think Bernie just submitted it 15 times. That's why it's so big. Awesome. All right, I don't know, you probably can't read some of those things. Some of them are pretty small. We've got health and family and home and community, my husband, cool, good for you. My family, my children, kids, faith, job, new life, food and water, sunshine, my house, rest, time, cool, hope, good job, trip to somewhere, rest, peace, provision, some of the smaller ones, wisdom, my car, cool, all right, Bernie and his support, that's cool, growing plants, awesome, right? See some of these simple things that it's like, you plant a garden and you just assume, hey, stuff's got to grow, but you're thankful for it. How far I've come, cool. God's provision, morning coffee. Ha ha. All right. Promises, household of faith, grace and forgiveness. Paula, you made it on here. Hans, did you do that? Good for you. Oh, you didn't? Sorry. Worms are on there. Our baby in due in July. Cool. Awesome. Hey, bless you. That's going to be great. God's love for me. Healthy grandchildren. Great friends. Graduation. Somebody's grateful for that. Somebody's even, maybe the same person did also ACS teachers. Oh, and a dogwood tree. Man, I am thankful for my dog. Thank you, whoever added that. My dogwood tree in my front yard's amazing. I stepped out this morning. I was like, wow, that thing is just so bright white, full of blooms. It's gorgeous. Thankful. All right. Well, so last week, Justin talked about rhythms in our life, and here's a good rhythm then to establish. Maybe by implementing a habit of stating three things you're thankful for, maybe at the end of your day or something. Or perhaps a rhythm that's often forgotten is simply that, I think, relatively easy practice of praying before each meal and to say thank you to God. I remember growing up, we always had to do that. I was the youngest in the family, and we would go around among five kids, and each kid would, at the start of the meal, would have to say, Lord, bless this food for Jesus' sake, amen. And then at the end of the meal, we'd all go around the table again, and we'd say, thank you for this food for Jesus' sake, amen. And I could never keep them straight. And, I mean, being the youngest, I would have all four of my siblings correcting me. Because at the beginning of the meal, I'd say, Lord, thank you. And everybody would yell out, bless! It tarnished me for life. But it's an easy practice to say, oh, yeah, I've got to remember to bless the Lord for the things that he's given me. And they might be simple things. They might be profound things. But to nurture gratitude in our hearts. Not just for the things that God has given to us, but to nurture gratitude to God. Because otherwise our expectations rise so high that we let go of gratitude. And we're always chasing after things rather than to simply let go and be grateful to God for all things. Not because hardship is good. Because if you only give thanks for the good things in life, then when we do meet hardship, then gratitude disappears. So, I want us to once again stand up and read these words from Psalm 103 as a reminder for us to say, yeah, I'm going to take time out of my day to recall the benefits of God so I don't forget them. You've heard these words before, perhaps, but let's say them together. Well, because I was going to go off the screen, but the screen's blank, so I was worried. But I need not be. Let's say this together. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 103, first five verses. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we give you thanks. And all thanks goes to you because you are our God, our Father, our healer, our provider, our Savior. Almighty God, we give you all the praise. Teach us. Nurture in us, Father, gratitude in our lives. Remind us this afternoon. Remind us tomorrow morning. Remind us in the middle of the week, God, of all of your benefits, great and small. And mold our hearts with gratitude. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Go in thankfulness.